How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level two, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the pick the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between, throwing it down on this Sunday night. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates, including San Diego and Los Angeles, the mightier 1090, as we rock. This evening, we're talking NBA basketball. We'll get into a little NFL football, actually, as well. Some soccer talk. Bayern gets it done, beats Paris Saint-Germain. And, of course, we'll talk some National Hockey League playoffs as the Vancouver Canucks finding out that the Las Vegas Golden Knights are a lot tougher than the St. Louis Blues were. There's different levels to this stuff, man. And when you move on in the playoffs, suddenly your opponents, they exponentially become a lot tougher. People don't realize that. Like the Toronto Raptors dropped 150 on the Brooklyn Nets. I'm telling you what, the Raptors are not going to be dropping 150 on the Boston Celtics, all right? Things suddenly get tougher. Meanwhile, things are already tough right now for the Los Angeles Clippers. Clippers getting all that they can handle from the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic was called out by Montrezl Harrell on Friday night, and Luka Doncic comes back and responds in a big-ass way. He drops 43. Donovan Mitchell drops 51, probably the best player in the NBA that people don't know about. Donovan Mitchell, this kid's unbelievable, and he's going off. And it's not just Donovan Mitchell either. Utah are playing real good basketball. You know, normally I've always sort of discounted Utah. Like, you know, I never really think their ceiling is all that high. But Utah are a difficult team to play against, man. I think Utah can battle with anybody right now. Things are getting good in the NBA playoffs. But we're not going to tell you what already happened. We're going to try to tell you what's going to happen on Monday. Can Oklahoma City get back in this thing? The Oklahoma City Thunder were on the verge of being down 3-0, but they went off late. They found a way to get it done. They're going to have to find another way to get it done. Once again, they're getting 3 points. Meanwhile, Portland Trailblazer backers, at least backers that had 8 points, were lucky to get the push on Saturday as Portland seemingly getting beaten down by the Los Angeles Lakers. A 1-2 punch. LeBron and AD stepping up and delivering and getting it done. Earl Thomas cut by the Baltimore Ravens. Conduct detrimental to the team. They didn't like him, basically. Earl Thomas just talks too much, and he'd been upsetting them repeatedly. Cowboys front runners to pick him up. Shocker. Sports Rage late night. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Sports Rage late night. I am Gabe Morenci. Level two. Man, this show's just flying by, but it always does because it's that good. All right, we're kicking it with Big Man on campus right now. And Big Man, I want to get into a little soccer talk and recap what happened and put it in perspective. Bayern's Champs League victory today, but let's just wrap up the NBA with a couple of picks. And you know, if anything catches your eye, overnight numbers here right now. So we talked about the Bucks are -13.5 against Orlando, Houston Rockets -3 against the Thunder. The total in the Milwaukee Orlando game is 226. The total in Houston and Oklahoma 220. The Rockets -3, 220. Miami Heat and the Pacers, the Heat lay 6, total 216.5. And then the nightcap, Lakers are -7.5, total 224.5. Any overnight picks catch your eye, big man?
Yeah, you know, I think the Heat Pacer game is interesting. I was on this the other night, as I told you, I like the team total for Indiana. This is interesting, though, because the psychological thought on being down 3-0, and we've seen it, is normally teams kind of body language-wise just kind of give up. They're ready to leave. They've been away from their family for a month and a half. They're just looking to get out of there. But, you know, you look at the Pacers. You know, I thought they played pretty well the other night. They just kind of fell apart late in the game with some bad turnovers. But you look at injury-wise, Jay Crowder may not play. Iguodala may not play. Derek Jones may not play. You know, if I get two or three of those guys out, even one of those guys out, I have some interest. And if you look at this line, it's come down a little bit, might just kind of signify that maybe the injury news isn't great. That kind of levels the bench off a little bit. I like what I saw out of Indiana in game three. You've got to wonder if they could just get one here. I'm willing to think they can, because even in the first three games, I thought they've been in most of these games, if not for most of the third quarter into the fourth quarter. They just haven't had enough late in the game. I'm going to kind of look a little bit more at them. I mentioned I do like the Magic, especially if Aaron Gordon plays. I think I might just grab that at 13.5 now. I think that's the best number I'm likely going to get. And I like what I've seen from them. We talked quickly about Oklahoma City and Houston. Like I said, I mean, Billy Donovan has to stop being so hard-headed with Steven Adams. He may not have to worry about it because I don't know if Adams is going to play tomorrow due to an injury, but I think they're better right now with him off the court. He just doesn't really suit in the small ball lineup. I think it's pretty evident, though, that Oklahoma City can't necessarily score with Houston. So that's a game I might look under the total in. Then the late-night game, I mean, you and I, we kind of got lucky last night grabbing the Blazers +8. This is their last shot. They've got to win. They can't really screw around anymore. But I still want to think that the Blazers are going to get it going offensively. But the Lakers have looked good. I'm going to probably look towards the Blazers, but I still got some work to do. We'll have something earlier in the day tomorrow.
Exactly. And, you know, one thing about the Blazers, though, they almost need to be in a bad spot. You know what I mean? Like, they're the type of team that, like, they don't really play well unless it's, like, a desperate situation. And I think now we're back to that. I almost expect them now to get back. I think the Blazers show up tomorrow night. Maybe they don't win, but it'll be closer. And I think we can get better than a push. I'm leaning with the Blazers right now, but that's why we host Game Time Decisions weekdays at 6 to make final Game Time Decisions.
I think real quick, Gabe, one thing about this Laker-Portland series that's interesting is it's not that Portland – they're just not getting any good shots in any of these games. Like, their pick-and-roll offense hasn't really worked. And, like, everything they've done, they don't get a lot of catch-and-shoot opportunities. Just when you look at some of the hoop math at what they're doing, there's a lot of bad shots being put up by Portland. Carmelo Anthony has been kind of a mess at times. You know, Nurkic hasn't been great. Whiteside's been a non-factor. McCollum's still injured. I just don't know if Lillard's enough. But you're right. It seems like whenever their kind of backs are against the wall, they figured things out here. So, yeah, they've been worn out, too. They played a lot of games. I'm going to have to look to at least get 7 in this game. I'm not sure if I'm going to be interested in anything under that.
So I want to get into to Bayern Munich. Cash the ticket, plus 100. So they win 1-0. And I brought it up earlier, and I said I can't recall a team as good as this team, like in recent memory, big man. And I'm not putting a stake in the ground here and saying they're the best team ever. But in recent memory, like, they're the most dominant team. And it's not just my opinion. I mean, the facts back it up. So Bayern becomes the first team ever, guys, to run the table in a Champions League competition. Think about that. Like, first team ever. They went 11-0, big men. Normally they play 13 games, obviously. You know, they didn't play, there was two less games in a tournament this year due to the pandemic. But they're the first team ever in Champs League history not to lose a match. They went 11-0. They scored 43 goals in the 11 matches. They gave up 8. So their Champs League, the box score says 43-8. 43-8 in the 11 games. You know, just what a run. I mean, you know, domination in the Bundesliga, dominations in the Champs League. I mean, it was perfection, big man. You can't do better than going 11-0, bro.
Yeah, they were impressive. I will say, look, how Paris Saint-Germain didn't score in this game, I thought was wild. They should have won. I'm being honest with you. I thought they were a better team today. They just didn't finish. There were some ugly opportunities wasted. Neymar didn't play well in the Champions League. As far as the best team, you know, there's been some great Bayern Munich teams, Gabe. I mean, back in 2013, they had a terrific side. I mean, there were some great Real and Barcelona teams over the years. AC Milan back in 2007, you know, with Kaká and Pirlo and Clarence Seedorf. But yeah, look, from a 1-11 and, you know, the reserves, you know, it's hard to find a team, you know, more stacked. I mean, Lewandowski and Gnabry and Mueller and Goretzka and Coman and, you know, guys like Coutinho and Perisic off the bench. It's a wealth of talent. They were sparkling. Look, I thought,
how about this? How about
the
Coleman?
Barcelona game was just incredible.
Yeah, 8-2 win against, yeah, Barca. So how about Kingsley Coman? He's 24 years old, bro. This is his resume. Champions League champion and game winning goal scorer. Scored the only goal. 5-time Bundesliga champion. 2-time Serie A champion, Coppa Italia, Super Coppa Italia. He's won the Liga twice. Like, it's insane the amount of trophies this kid has for a 24-year-old. And for the record, too, Alfonso Davies becomes the first ever Canadian to win a Champions League trophy, big man. First ever Canadian, only Canadian man, and the youngest defender ever to win a Champs League title for like just so many great players and so many great stories on this Bayern team, big man. And as in the last 26 games.
Yeah, they really are.
25-0-1. They had one draw. 25-0-1. They've won 21 straight since, like, just say a hell of a run, man. Magical run, bro. And I like it. I wrote it, big man. I wish I bet on all 26 of these games. But ever since they came back, I was pretty much on them every game. Like, I, you know what I mean? I didn't, there might've been a few here or there I missed or something like that, but I pretty much bet on them. I never bet against these guys. And man, these guys are just money, big man. So I want to thank Bayern Munich for the hell of a run.
It's not going to be the last time they win either. I mean, they've had these guys for a lot of years. That you mentioned Davies, you mentioned, you know, there's Gnabry. They have some really great young players as well. it's going to be a fun year next year for them as well, because they're just as good. But yeah, it was incredible. It really was. I just thought PSG should have been better. I thought they were the better team in this game, to be really, really honest. And you can take me to agree with that one. They just couldn't connect.
All right, we'll get into some NFL on the other side, some NHL as well. Let's talk some NFL football, Sports Rage Late Night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you, because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabe Morenci, big man on campus, kicking it with us right now. Getting some NFL footballs. The countdown is on. A little more. It's hard to believe, guys. It's crazy, man. The calendar just keeps turning, huh? As the days of our lives. Time just goes by too fast, man. The show goes by fast, but time goes by fast. So, man, we're about 2.5 weeks away from the start of the National Football League season. As crazy as that sounds. It's like really? Like, wow, I haven't played preseason. There will be no preseason. So, big man on campus with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Nady. You can follow me on Twitter at Sports Rage. So, big man, normally this is the time of year that I go to Vegas, or that we have someone in Vegas and we're signing up. We're getting in on some of these contests, the super contests, and all that other type of stuff. And I'm not as quite as enthusiastic about it this year. And, you know, just quite frank, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I think there's going to be canceled games, and I think the season will be okay, but I wouldn't be surprised if, like baseball, all right, this game's canceled and, you know, these two teams aren't playing for 2 weeks. And so, you know, you have the variables of the contest, but I tell you what, you know, they're getting desperate, big man, because the Westgate is offering two free rooms. Two rooms a week if you enter the contest. And let me tell you, they never did that perk before, bro. They used to give you a damn T-shirt, all right? basically, they're giving you a hotel to come and watch the games. Like, you know what I mean? Like, enter and then come. They only have a couple of hundred entries right now, which I almost kind of like the fact. When I first entered the Super Contest, guys, years ago, there was 478 people in it. And then, like, the next year, I remember it was like 600 or 700, and it was up to like 700. Now it was ridiculous. Last year, I think it was like 3,700 or 3,800 or something like that. And I don't like it, big man. It's too random when you have 3,800 people. I mean, you know, you could have a dog pick, you know, random winners when you have 3,800, like, 100 people. It's sort of like, it just becomes like a lottery almost. But interesting that they only have a couple of hundred this year, and they're giving away hotel rooms, big man.
Yeah, I was actually surprised to hear that. I thought there would be a lot more, because I've seen, like, pictures of Vegas, and, like, people are going, and I don't know about you, but I've noticed a lot of people, like, just in my personal life, you know, traveling. It's cheap to travel right now. As far as I know, Nevada seems to be pretty good as far as coronavirus, but yeah, I mean, we still got some time. I'd imagine they'll get up close to 1,000, I would think. But
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, now's the time to travel if you're out there.
I'm not, though. To be honest, I was thinking about it, like, different approach. And, you know, I've been in a contest a lot over the years. Once me and a couple other guys, our team, we finished in eighth place. Pretty cool. We won 56,000. But I've also, you know, I've been in it a lot, and it's not cheap, right? Like, you add up the expenses of the contest and getting there and everything. Like, you know, it's like basically about $3,000, you know, $2,500, $3,000 you're spending on this contest. So this year, my strategy is going to be a little, you know, this is what I'm thinking. Even though I say this now, big man, I know I'm going to get suckered into getting in on this, one of these contests, but I'm going to take the money that I would have spent in the contest, big man. All right. So let's say $2,000, $2,000, you know, like the contest, you know, to enter 1700 plus, you know, the proxy, whatever. Let's say it's like $2,000. So I'm just going to take the $2,000, big man, and I'm going to play 5 games like I would I'm in the contest with the $2,000. Like, I'm actually going to make it 2,500. So it's 500 a game. So basically, I'm going to play 500 a game, and I'm going to jump in week one. I don't have a choice. Like, you got to do it. So let's say I'm going to do my own little mini contest in a sense where I don't care. Like, I'm competing against myself. But I think I can make more money, big man, if I just take my money with that bankroll and approach it like that. 5 games a week, $500 a game. And if I do well at the end of the year, I'll have made quite a bit of money, actually, at $500 a unit, big man.
Yeah, you have to look back, and when you were in those contests, and think of what if you just bet these games game to game, like you're talking about. You know, if you end up not cashing throughout the year, I mean, yeah, no, I think it's a good strategy.
And you know what, big man?
You don't
have
to worry
about.
Yeah.
Never once have we had a sub 500 record, like in a contest, like with our best 5 bets. Like,
and you're being like,
I mean, like, yeah, like sometimes, you know, the year that we won, bro, we hit 62%, big man. It was six. That was our percentage, 62%.
Wow.
You know, but like, you know, last year it was like 54, 55. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, you know, it's hard to do 60 all the time. I'm not saying, oh, I can easily do 60%, but I'm just stating that, like, I'm not going to go like 40% or something. You know what I mean? But the key is, big man, is that first week, right? Jumping in, putting that 2,500 on the table, bro, right? In week one. The thing is, though, if you enter the contest,
yeah,
big man, and you have a bad week one, you're pretty much screwed, bro. Like, in that contest, trust me, you can afford to have one, maybe two bad weeks. If you have 3 or 4 bad weeks, you're not winning anything. And there's so many people in the contest, big man. Dude, the guy that won the last year, what was the one I was in? The Golden Nugget one. I was in a contest, the Golden Nugget. Bro, the guy that won, big man, he had a 73% winning percentage. I can't beat that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's just like I'm throwing money away, big man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to win 75% of my bets, guys, this year. Like, even if I do great, I'm not going to win that much. Like, it was insane. It was 71% the guy hit. Like, how the hell am I going to beat that? And I'm like, then after, I'm like, well, there goes $2,000, right? And I don't like that, big man, because I put $2,000 in, and I'm not competing against myself. I can't control this jackass that won 70% of his games. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, no, so, I've never played in it. I never would. I would just keep betting game to game. That's kind of how I like to do it.
Yeah, I'm just going to sort of, so Earl Thomas, he mouse off a lot. I know he was pissing Baltimore off. So we're only a couple of weeks away here from the NFL. What do you think is going to happen, big man? Do you think like offenses going to be clicking like early with no training camp, like, or with no preseason games? Like, is it going to be high scoring, low scoring? I think there's going to be injuries. Like, I would expect a lot of injuries in week 1 of the NFL because they didn't play. They're going to be suddenly going to be playing at a high level, a high speed. They never really got hit that hard. You know, they're not killing each other in practice. You know, I know they only have 10 practices with pads. So it's a 3-week training camp, and they only have 10 days with pads, like allowed tackling. Like, the PA said, yeah, we'll only do this for 10 days. Like, the PA has them by the balls here. So, you know, what are you expecting, big man, out of the gate?
I'm definitely expecting week 1 to probably not bet a ton of football just because I really just want to see how these teams approach it. It really is just a different year. I mean, watching Hard Knocks, I've watched that, and it's really an intimate look into the season and how teams, they just seem to be really sick and tired of it. It's stressful. I mean, you just got to follow all these rules and you got masks on, and yeah, it'll be weird. No preseason, no time to really kind of get into the swing of things. But I think as we've seen with the NBA and with baseball and all these other sports, it doesn't take long for these guys to get back into it. I remember, Gabe, when the NBA started back up, I remember Mike D'Antoni said James Harden, it took him about 30 seconds to get going. Yeah. He missed a couple shots, and then 30 seconds later he got going. So I don't think it'll take too long. As I've said to you before, I think the NFL is going to do a pretty good job at this. I think each player is taking accountability. They're driving it into these guys' heads that, look, you're not a regular person. You've got to take this seriously. This is a huge outfit we're dealing with here. This is the NFL. You can't screw it up for the rest of your team. And I think if you're a young player, you don't want to be the guy that does screw it up. So I think all in all, they're doing a good job. And I think they're going to do a good job. And I think the season will have maybe a couple hitches, maybe a couple issues. But I think for wide parts of it, it's going to be really fun. And it'll take some time, but we all know the NFL, they have the best players in the world, and they'll figure it out pretty quick. But, yeah, I won't probably be betting the first week or two. I just want to kind of see how it goes. Plus, no fans. You know, how's that? How does that look? It's going to be fun, though. I'm looking forward to football. It's come up quick.
Do you think, though, that they should allow fans in some places but not fans other places? Like, shouldn't they be like uniformed? Like Goodell always like has power over everything. But you notice now he's like, well, we'll let the states decide. Yeah, because it's about money, right? So, but like the Chiefs are gonna have 22% capacity. So I guess 17,000 people, big man, at that Chief game. Okay. Yet the Giants and Jets, they're not allowed to have fans. So like, shouldn't like it be a league-wide type thing where Goodell says, listen, I don't care if you're allowed to have fans. 26 of our teams can't. So no, you're not allowed having fans because it creates a competitive imbalance. Like, yeah, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think it should be uniformed. It kind of doesn't make sense from a competitive standpoint. It's kind of like with, you know, the MLB, where one league has a DH and the other doesn't. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, one league has a better, like, it's just not fair, right? I think when you have a crowd, I think the thing is, though, I never really understood the whole, like, 15% fans. I don't think it really will make a ton of a difference. But, yeah, I think they either need to have them or don't have them. I'm not quite sure what having 15% of fans, what's the point? That's dangerous.
No, but the thing
is, what's the point? 50%, that's...
I know, but then it just looks empty anyways.
Parking.
Yeah, they're not going to make money off it because it's going to cost them money because of the COVID type stuff, right? It's a weird dynamic to me. Is it really worth it?
It is.
To risk getting people sick just to make a couple of bucks to sell, like, I don't know, like either have fans or don't have fans, like in all the stadiums. And you can't all have fans. So, all right, well, a little football talk on the other side. We'll get Big Ben out of here after.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morency. Rage all you want.
All right, NFL football. Shout out to everyone in our chat here. John in Chicago says he thinks the defense is going to be ahead of the offenses. I do, too. I do, too. We saw in the XFL first couple of weeks. It was defense, defense, defense. And, guys, even at the best of times, thing is with the preseason, one thing that is true that I'll say is that is it the end of the world if there isn't a preseason? Because the fact of the matter is the players never play anyways. And it always angers me because that's what the preseason is for. And then you always see this, like all the time, guys, you'll see, well, they kind of struggled in week one because, you know, didn't get like Aaron Rodgers. Well, you know, we didn't get a lot of reps in the preseason. Yeah, because you didn't play. That's the whole point of having a preseason game. So they're already kind of cold as is. Offenses already kind of struggle early in NFL regular seasons, even with the normalcy. And I expect a lot of injuries out of the gate in week one. So, and shout out to Muhammad, who says the same thing I'm thinking too. So now we actually see it in writing, big man. There it is, Washington football team. So like I'm looking at the point spreads now. It's like Philadelphia Eagles versus Washington. FanDuel says Washington NFL team. That's how they have it listed at FanDuel. Philadelphia Eagles versus Washington NFL team. Eagles, 6.5-point favorites. 6.5-point favorites. Over-unders, 44.5. The game is in Washington. So the game is in Washington. No fans allowed at this in that stadium, I know. So because I know that because the MLS, the mayor, whatever, like they said no fans. So the Washington MLS team basically went like on the other side of the county line, like where they're allowed to have fans. They're all upset. They're like, you guys are just mocking this now by doing that. So there'll be no fans allowed. But what's the word with the Eagles right now, big man? What's the word in Philly with their camp? I haven't heard any major injuries in the last couple of days. So that's a good thing when you're talking about the Eagles, because they had injuries before they even started camp.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas Goedert suffered a hairline fracture in one of his thumbs this week. But from what they said, it's not too serious. He should be okay. But, yeah, I mean, as far as them, you're right. There really hasn't been any injuries. And that's, as you said, good, because that's something they struggle with year after year. You know, I think defensively, the jury's still out on the linebackers, but I think they're much improved. Obviously, bringing in a guy like Darius Slay. And, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, as usual, they have the best, probably one of the best defensive lines in the NFL. But it's, can Carson Wentz stay healthy? Is this receiving group good enough? Can DeSean Jackson stay healthy? And does this offensive line have enough talent? You lose Brandon Brooks, you bring back Jason Peters. But yeah, look, I don't think the offense has trouble scoring points. Look, I think the Eagles have a solid season. I always worry with Carson just because, you know, he is so injury prone and he always has issues, but I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I think, you know, as we've gotten past the draft and everything, I'm interested in seeing what Jalen Reagor has. I'm interested in seeing who makes his team because, you know, there's a lot of guys I think they're excited about in that receiver room, at the linebacker position. But yeah, all in all, pretty good so far. No major injuries to speak of.
Love the Darius Slay acquisition. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles, we know their secondary has been a weak link for many years, and you know he's one of the best players in the NFL at his position. I share your concerns about the wide receiver position. I like the draft pick, like you said, he's got to go out there and prove it. And man, you know, we see a lot of rookie wide receivers struggle in the NFL. It's really hit or miss that stuff. And I like the running backs. I like your running backs, and I'm not a massive fan. Like Jeffrey's not getting any younger. I'm not a big DeSean guy. You know, I think Deshaun's overrated. He always gets hurt. He's old. Like I said, I'm just not a big Deshaun guy. I'm curious to see what Reagor brings to the table here. I like your ground game, though. I mean, I'm a big Sanders fan. I do like him a lot. Are they better than Dallas? To me, that's the question, big man. And it'll be interesting. No. If Carson Wentz gets hurt too. You got Jalen Hurts, but no. So you think Dallas are the team to beat in this division?
Yeah, so I actually bet Dallas to win the Super Bowl on Friday. I think 16-1's way too high. Look, first of all, they have a new head coach. Look, I don't love Mike McCarthy, but he's 10 times better than Jason Garrett. I actually like their coordinators. I'm a big Kellen Moore guy. I think he's got a lot of room to grow.
Good point.
I think from a roster perspective, I have a hard time saying they're not one of the best rosters in the league. I think receiver-wise, they're set, especially with CeeDee Lamb. You know how good Ezekiel Elliott is. Offensive line's very good. I think this defense, though, is where they're going to make their bones. I think they got a lot better on the defensive line, adding guys like Griffin and Dontari Poe. You already have DeMarcus Lawrence. I think they have the best linebackers in the league. And that secondary is young, but I think it's potent. I like Kaha Clinton-Dix a lot. I thought Trevon Diggs was one of the best corners in the draft, really outside of Jeffrey Okuda. I had him as the second best corner in the draft overall. I thought Dallas drafted well. I think they've improved the positions they needed to. I love everything about the Cowboys. I think Dak comes back, obviously, with plenty to prove this year. I don't see a lot of holes in this football team, to be really honest with you. They got the elephant in the room out of there with Jason Garrett. It's just a question of, does Jerry Jones stay out of the mix? We know he normally doesn't, but I think on paper this team is going to be terrific.
I think I agree with a lot of what you said. You know, I kind of rolled my eyes when they hired McCarthy. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, yeah, really? Out of all the guys out there? But now that it settles in, I don't hate it. You know, in the sense of, you know, he's won a Super Bowl before. He's dealt with egos before. Aaron Rodgers is not an easy guy to get along with. He's dealt with Aaron Rodgers. And he's not a jerk, but he's a tough guy. You know what I mean? And as you stated, listen, I kind of wonder, all right, you have a new coach. What's the system going to be like and everything? But how can you not be better, big man? Like, Jason Garrett was that bad. And Jason Garrett, it was clear, big man. They didn't respect him, man. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, how can a football coach get a guy's attention in the room when everyone knows that you're just a puppet for the owner, right? Like, yeah, whatever, bro. You're Garrett, whatever, dude. You can do what Jerry tells you. Like, and he's a nice guy. Jason Garrett knows football, but he was put in a bad spot. Jerry Jones cut his balls off, so to speak. And, you know, and another thing is Jason Garrett, like, he's a clapper. He's all positive all the time and stuff, and it wasn't working. You look at the Dallas Cowboy players, because as you stated, on paper, they might have the best roster in the NFL, big man, actually, now. Like, you know, like you said, every position, they're stacked. Like, the Dallas Cowboys are stacked. Like, there's no reason why they shouldn't win 12 games. You know what I mean? Like, I would want, like, if I own that team, I look at the roster, I'd be like, guys, like, we should be 13-3. You know, 12-4, 13-3 football team. They weren't. I think McCarthy could get more out of them just because it's not like the substitute teacher they don't respect there now with Garrett. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that was kind of my big thing. I think they've gotten significantly better at positions, and you know, they obviously made a big step up with the new head coach signing. But as far as Gabe, one that I'll throw out as well, I actually bet this also, Baltimore Ravens against the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl. I'm not one to bet these. I don't love these. I actually think Baltimore, I don't think it's out of the question that they win every game this season. I think outside of the Chiefs, that is a very easy schedule. I think they have a lot to prove. I thought they've got significantly better positions as well. It wouldn't surprise me if they run the table, honestly. In a weird year, I actually bet it at 30-1 that they run the table. I think it's got a shot. Especially if they can get by the Chiefs, I have to wonder if they can run it, because that's a very simple schedule. But yeah, I'm very high on Dallas. I'm very high on the Baltimore Ravens. I'm also very high on your Buffalo Bills. Real quick, Josh Allen, I think he takes a big step forward after that mess last year in the playoffs. I think defensively they're the best team in the league. I really like Tremaine Edmonds. I think he could be an all-pro kind of player down the road. He's got 4-5 speed. I love their defensive line. Their secondary is as good as anybody. And I'm telling you right now, the best free agent acquisition was Stephon Diggs by a long shot. They needed him desperately to go along with Cole Beasley. You need a big-time target to throw to. I love their young group in the backfield with Singletary. And don't sleep on Zach Moss. He was a good player at Utah. I really love this Bill team. I think they win their first playoff game since 1995. I'm all in on Bills Mafia this season.
I like the Bills. I don't see why they don't win this division. I don't see why they don't win a division. Josh Allen is 50-1 to win the NFL regular season most valuable player award. Patrick Mahomes is the favorite at plus 380. Yeah, it's a nice number. Like you said, like, he's way at the bottom of the page. And, like, put it this way, bro. Like, Baker Mayfield's 29-1, as if. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Baker Mayfield's 29-1 and Josh Allen's 50-1, bro? Come on. Like, that's just stupid. Like, you know what I mean? Kyler Murray's 23-1. I'm high on Arizona. We'll get into them moving forward, big man. But I think Arizona takes a nice step up this year, especially with getting Hopkins in there. Kingsbury did a nice job. He's got a nice staff, the defense. Thing is, people, you can't coach defense. Arizona's defense was good last year, big man. It was actually the offense that struggled. The defense made plays.
That's a great point by you. Yeah, and Kyler Murray, another year under his belt. You add Hopkins. I'll tell you another thing, Gabe, real quick. It wouldn't surprise me if the Jags lose every game. This is a terrible team. And it's pretty clear they are looking to lose football games. They could have went out and got Cam Newton. They could have went out and made a splash. They didn't do it.
They're tanking for Trevor.
I think Gardner Minshew. Yeah, Gardner Minshew is a nice story and all for a couple of weeks. But, I mean, this guy, look, to say he can lead a team, I think it's a little crazy. That offense is bad. I mean, they have very little there. Defensively, Jalen Ramsey's long gone. I'm actually, real quick before we go, the Miami Dolphins, a team that we just talked about, AFC East, they're interesting. It wouldn't surprise me if they challenge for second in that division. That's an interesting team. I think defensively they're a lot better than people think. And
probably an 8-8, 9-17 actually. It's a good coach.
Yeah,
he's a good coach. Yeah, it's probably an 8-18 now.
They played for Frazier or Flores last year. That was fun to watch. I really like what they have there. I think they could be a team to keep your eye on. Defensively, they are a lot better than people think. They add Kyle Van Noy. You add some real talent. At the linebacker position as well. I love the Dolphins. They're an interesting team to keep your eye on as well.
And just for the record, though, the Bills did trade. They traded with the Vikings, but they and the Vikings got Jefferson, the wide receiver. And the Bills said after, we like Diggs better than Jefferson, right? Like the Bills are in a win now mode, like you said, big man. They didn't care about drafting a young kid. Diggs the perfect guy. He's a perfect Bill. You throw Diggs in there with John Brown, Cole Beasley, the Gabriel kid they brought into from UCF. Like I like the wide receiver core in Buffalo is, you know, dude, Josh Allen never had anything to work with in his career. This is the first time he actually has multiple real weapons to throw the football to. FanDuel has a prop up right now, big man. Worst team in the NFL. Which team's going to have the worst record in the NFL? I love this bet. Jacksonville Jaguars, plus 250. They give you plus 250 that the Jags will be the worst team in the league. The Jags will be the worst team in the league. The second choice is Washington.
Yeah, I don't.
At 6-1. Washington aren't that bad. Like, people, like, Hoskins is better than people think, too. Like, Washington will win six games or something, but Jacksonville's going 1-15, bro. Like, they might not win a game, like you said.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised to see that at 250. I don't really think anyone else is even in the running. I mean, Carolina's way better than them. Washington's way better than them. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. Shout out to Big Man on Campus for taking it with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage Late Night. Shout out to Big Man on Campus for kicking it with us. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates out there as well. We appreciate you joining us. Scott Wetzel, Bagels and Bad Beats, coming up. And don't forget, Scotty Farrell will be back Monday night. And we'll be following the great Scotty Farrell. Real cool coming on and kicking it with Scotty at the end of his shows, too. So we'll look forward to speaking with Scotty tomorrow night. Good times talking NFL football tonight on the program. We didn't really, you know, we'll start to get into more NFL now. We're only a couple of weeks away from the season starting. We're talking about the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills should win that division this year. With a football team and a dynamic with no fans and, you know, a lot of stuff to break down, a lot of storylines we'll get into this week and in the coming weeks. But a team that I like a lot, and I think is going to thrive, a player that I like a lot, and I think is going to thrive with no fans, is Kirk Cousins. And remember, Kirk Cousins actually said he doesn't mind no fans. And you know, Kirk Cousins hasn't performed well in primetime games, right? Kirk Cousins hasn't performed well in some of those settings. I think without fans, it's going to take a lot of the edge off. And even though I like Stephon Diggs a lot, I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, guys. If you're tuning in, you're unaware. I know most of our diehards know that, but I'm a Bills fan. I like Diggs. Diggs on the Bills is good. But the thing is, Minnesota won't miss him. Minnesota's not going to miss him. Diggs was becoming a problem there. He didn't get along with Kirk Cousins. You know, Diggs didn't get along with the coach. He didn't get along with the coaching staff. He wasn't talking to, like, he would leave, you know, after games without talking to people, Diggs and stuff. Like, there wasn't a good relationship there anymore. The relationship had, you know, just wasn't good anymore. Without him there, I think they could be more comfortable. They've got a ton of talent. They'll be fine. And Diggs is happy with Buffalo. I think it's a win-win for everybody. Win-win for everybody. We have a point spread edition here. Toronto Raptors, Boston Celtics. They start the series on Thursday. Kyle Lowry's status is unknown right now. The Toronto Raptors open up 1.5-point favorites. No total yet. 1.5-point favorites, Toronto, Boston. Shout out to Master Control in Midtown Manhattan. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.